reminded of how great God is. You know, we live in a world where we can easily get our attention off of God and his, throughout eternity, absolute consistency. I mean, he's the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that dropped manna down from heaven for the Israelites, the same God that delivered Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi one night after they got whipped and beaten for just going in to give the gospel to the people of Philippi. And God sent that earthquake and shook it and shook up that jail guard, and he came trembling, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Same God who has risen from the dead. That's why we gather on Sunday, the first day of the week, to celebrate our risen Savior, the fulfillment of the law. So I'd like us this morning to start off this sermon with a big question. Here's this great God, Almighty God, you know, and we are but dust, one of the Psalms reminds us. But here's a question for you this morning. Is it possible for as feeble little human creatures that we are in comparison to God, is it possible for us to hinder the Almighty God of heaven and earth, who has no beginning, no ending to his existence? This God who created the billions of gallons of water in the vast oceans that take weeks and weeks to sail across. The God who created mountains that are so tall, most human beings could never climb to the top. We have one of those in Kenya. I mean, very few humans have ever been to the top of Mount Kenya. On a clear day, certain months of the year especially, we can look to the north from our subdivision where we live and see Mount Kenya looming into the sky. And one really cool thing while I'm on that is that that's the only place in the world where you can see snow on the equator. We're right on the equator, but it's a high elevation, and then there's Mount Kenya looming into the sky. I think it's about 17,000 feet. So very tall mountain, but snow on the equator there. But the God who created these incredibly beautiful, majestic sights, and then all the way down to, or out to the billions of stars in the galaxies around us, billions of miles apart from each other. And then the same God created microscopic organisms, a world of microscopic things that we cannot even see with our own eyes. But these organisms, by the billions, that compile up to make thousands of varieties of living organisms on the earth. And this great God who has shown his mighty power through the ages to remind human beings of who he is by doing numerous miracle works and miraculously recording it and preserving it for us in this amazing book like none else in the world, the Bible. There is no book in the world that has transformed individual personal lives and families and communities and countries like the Bible had. It has. It is and has been for years the number one selling book in the world by millions. Why is it that this book is so powerful? It's the God who owns this book, who wrote this book and has preserved it for us. The same God who parted the Red Sea and allowed the people of Israel to cross on dry ground and then brought down those same walls of water to the destruction of the world's greatest army ever, or greatest army of the time. Okay, and we could go on and on, long into the night, rehearsing the great and wondrous things. The Bible says that if all the works of Jesus were written in a book, it says that we couldn't contain the scrolls. It would be more things to write about. But we have this amazing book right here. And we could go on and on into the night talking about the wondrous things that Almighty God has done. You don't hear that broadcasted on CNN, you know, or Fox News, or, you know, yeah, we laugh. Like, that's the furthest thing from some of these news companies. You know, these ought to be the things that are highlights every day. Let's remember how God parted the Red Sea. You know, could you imagine those headlines in the news these days? Let's focus today on the amazing flood that God used to bring judgment on the earth and restore a righteous seed on the earth. You know, man, those are the things we ought to be hearing in the news. Those are the headlines. But can we possibly hinder this great God? Can you hinder him? You think, man, my life doesn't really matter. Who am I? You know, I'm just little me. I mean, no, hardly anybody knows I exist in this world. You know, there is so much we could focus on with this subject today, but I'd like us for just a minute here to take some time to strongly consider the fact that this great Almighty God loves us more than we could ever know, and His love does not hinge on our behavior. Have you ever thought about that? He loves us with an unconditional love that is not hinging on what you did yesterday or didn't do yesterday. That's an amazing thing. I was at a conference recently, and the emphasis was on the extreme love of God. And it just struck me anew and afresh. Wow, God loves me no matter what. And that is an amazing thing. This great and mighty God, He loves us more than we could ever know. And He seeks to use each one of us as vessels through whom He can show His love and His mighty power and greatness to this lost and dying world. And boy, we live in a lost and dying world, don't we? Full of confusion, full of people that don't know what to think. They're so tossed around by, you know, all these conflicting things they hear in the news these days. But if we're not careful as Christians, we will actually end up getting caught up in that and doubting God and hindering God from performing all the great and mighty works He wants to perform in 2022 through us in order to make Himself known to us and those around us. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, apostolic gifts, okay, where, wow, God wants me to just heal, touch people and heal. And, you know, those had their season and God's purpose for a time in the apostolic age. But God is still the same God. He still desires to make Himself known. But the reality is, I'd like us to focus on today, you and I, as little as we seem, can hinder this Almighty God. You say, how can I do that? Prove that to me. Let's look at Psalm 78 and verse 40. Start in verse 40. Just in verse 1. All right, we'll look at verse 1 here to start off. Psalm 78, verse 1. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." Okay, things that are of God that are just amazing and beyond our comprehension. It's like, you know, our brain just isn't even capable of fully going there. It's like a darkness in a sense that it's places we've never gone to fully understand God and His greatness. Verse 3, "which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob." Okay, God chose Israel to make His glory known through Israel to all the surrounding nations. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Verse 6, "that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." Man, it's easy to forget God and His incredible greatness, isn't it? All you got to do is turn the news on for 10 minutes, and you're going to be tempted to forget God and His greatness. I guarantee it. Now, I read the news, okay? But I try to limit it to certain sources and try to avoid certain things because, man, you can get easily distracted. There's so much being broadcast out there these days. But, man, this ought to be the top source where we're getting our news right here from the Bible and getting our eyes on God. Look at verse 8. "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Okay, just think about the 12 spies. 10 of them did not take God at His word. 2 of them did. Verse 9, "the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law." How can I hinder Almighty God? According to Psalm 78, first of all, We're kind of looking at it from a reverse angle here a little bit. First of all, refuse some or all of his commandments. Refuse the commandments of God. You can be sure that you will hinder God. You know what? God doesn't force us to obey him. God doesn't force us to love him. That's not love. That's not obedience. You know, we've got five wonderful children, and if I'm holding, I would never do this, but if I were to hold a stick over their head and say, go clean your room or else, you know, oh yes, Dad, do you think they're going to be doing it because they just love their dad? Or do you think they're going to be like, oh, there's that stick again, you know, I better go do it, I don't want that stick on me, you know? Man, that would be an awful way to treat people. That'd be an awful way to try to influence our children toward God, okay? But God doesn't force us to follow his plan. God has proved that following his laws and plan leads people to great joy and blessing. Verse 7, look at that again, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What was he referring to? We'll see later on in the passage, it kind of goes more into this, but he's talking specifically here, the psalmist is referring to when God promised Israel, hey, you're my chosen people, I've got a special piece of real estate that I want to give you all, and he laid out the boundaries, and it was a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. God wasn't dropping them into the middle of a desert. Okay, God dropped them, wanted to put them into a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, a land of abundance, huge grapes and just things that would grow abundantly. The promised land, God had told Israel to conquer the promised land. Go in there, conquer it. I'm going to defeat these giants, these people that have had their chance. Okay, people talk about the extermination of the Canaanites as if that was God just chose to kill people. No, they had their chance to turn to God. They had heard of the wonders of the God of Israel, and they still defied God. God gave them plenty of opportunity to turn to him before the Canaanites were finally exterminated. God had told Israel to conquer the promised land, but did they go in and do it right away? God said, I'll do it. I'll fight for you. God had said he would fight for them, and instead they chose to ignore God's voice and listen to the 10 bad spies, didn't they? 12 spies went into the land. They brought their reports back. 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? 2 of them were in accordance to what Almighty God had said. Okay, we can go in. We'll conquer these people. Why? Because God, not because we're great. No, these people were huge giants. You know, they had iron. They had chariots of iron. They were well able to defend themselves. Humanly speaking, it didn't make sense to go in and try to wipe these people out and take their land, like God said. But God said, "I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do it." And they, like Joshua and Caleb, of course, they trusted in that promise. And I ask you this morning, are you choosing to refuse or to follow the Lord in areas of life according to his commandments? Are you choosing to follow him, or are you refusing him? Are you resisting him? Oh God, I can't surrender everything to you. I can't totally submit my life to you because, man, it's going to be rugged. It's going to be, you know, my friends will laugh at me. My family members, they're going to make fun of me, or whatever excuse we might give for not following God's clear commands. God gives us clear commands that we are to be acting on in 2022. For example, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay, God wants us gathering more and more with God's people as the day of Christ approaches. Another command in 1 Timothy 2:2, to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Are we doing that these days? I know we feel compelled more than ever probably to pray, Lord, deliver us from the rule of wicked men and women in this country. It's awful to see what's happening. Or here's another command for 2022, 1 John 2:15, Don't love the world. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Don't love the world or the things of the world. How are we doing with that? Matthew 22:37, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Matthew 9:38, pray for laborers in the Lord's harvest. These are all commands that God gives us. And does he command us these things because he just wants us to try it out? You know, like, oh man, you probably won't know what else to do with your life, so try this. No, these are clear commands that have eternal God-ordained purpose. God wants us to be fulfilling in our lives. Teenagers here this morning, children, God has that purpose for you. Parents, you know, adults, grandparents, God has a purpose for you to be fulfilling, and he gives it to us in the Bible. He gives us clear commands, clear words of instruction that we are to be following in order to really experience the greatest blessings God would ever want us to experience. Now, in Kenya, then there's this something very popular, and it's around the U.S. as well, but it's very prevalent in Kenya, the health and wealth gospel. Oh, if you believe in Jesus, you know, here's what actually happens a lot in the churches. I hear about this from a lot of people all the time over there, and just the average churches, there's a strong Pentecostal influence, and these preachers will get up and preach on money. Like 90% of their sermons are on money. Can you imagine that? In a poverty-stricken country, they're preaching about money. And by the way, most of them are driving black Mercedes SUVs around while a lot of their people are hobbling to church, you know, and would never dream of even owning a vehicle, you know, having that much money to own a vehicle. But yet these preachers will get up and preach, if you put 100 shillings into the offering today, God will bless you with 1,000 shillings this week if you have genuine faith. They say things, 100 shillings is like $1, and 1,000 Kenya shillings is about $10, okay? If you do that, God will bless you. You put your cell phone into the offering plate today, God will, and most people have smartphones over there, you put it in the offering, God will bless you with a much better iPhone, whatever, you know, this week, if you have genuine faith. And they use these things to kind of manipulate people to do things in the name of spirituality, in the name of God. Man, it's some of the worst crimes that take place. Extremely deceptive. You know, God doesn't do that to us. He gives us clear commands. And if we humble ourselves and submit to Almighty God, he wants to bless us. God was ready right then to get Israel into the promised land and give it over to them. He was ready right then. But what happened? These 10 foolish spies, they took their eyes off of God and they put their eyes on the human circumstances. Oh, look at the giants. Look at their chariots. No way. And they came back and gave a report that contradicted the command of Almighty God. Man, don't point fingers at them too quickly, though. We do the same thing, don't we? We stop doubting God. We get our eyes focused on the storm. Jesus says, step out of the boat and come to me. And we, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And we take a couple steps. But man, we hear the waves crashing and we look around, you know, and we start getting all worried because, oh, the storm's around me. Hey, Jesus is still right there. He's ready to keep you on the water, walking to him. But we take our eyes off of him, just like Peter did. We do the same thing in 2022. We refuse. We reject him. Secondly, forget. If you want to hinder this great Almighty God, forget the great things he has done. Look at verse 11. Here, the problem with these Israelites back in the day, going into the promised land, verse 11, they forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the land of Zoan. He divided the sea. Okay, that had never happened before or after, you know, swallowing up the Egyptian army, and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock. Imagine that. Stream of fresh, cold, refreshing water coming out of a rock in the middle of nowhere. And he caused waters to run down like rivers. Okay, all these amazing things. But look at this. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Oh man, that's who we are. God puts this in here to remind us, hey, we're the same way. Don't think too high of yourself, but also don't be too hard on yourself. Okay, we're made out of the same stuff as these people. We easily forget great things God has done. We often are forgetting. And this forgetting happens when we fail to see how important something is. And as a result, we allow ourselves to forget, hey, look at what God has done. Israel should have been reminding their children. You see that in verses 5 through 8. They were to rehearse these things regularly with their children so that they would not forget how great and mighty God was. It doesn't take us long to forget, does it? We can be excited one day, and then the next day, we're just in the dumps, right? You know, because why? Not because of God. God doesn't send us on roller coaster rides like that. He doesn't change. He's the same. We get our eyes off of him, though. We get our eyes out of his word and onto the circumstances of life, and we forget, hey, God wants to give me that strength and stability like he gave Paul and Silas there in Philippi to be able to sing praises to God and pray at the darkest time of midnight. You know, we've had these challenges with our little Kayla, 4 years old. And man, I can't tell you the number of hours that we've been awake in the night with her compared to our other four children. There's no comparison with her crying about pain in her stomach or different things that we're just saying, Lord, show us what to do. Please guide us, you know. There's times hours in the nighttime where it's like, Lord, have you forgotten about us? Please help this little child. She can't explain things, you know, what's going on. And it can be very trying at time, and it's tempting. God, it's tempting to believe, God, have you forgotten us? Are you still there? Maybe you have financial struggles or relationship struggles with people and loved ones, that you ought to have a good, strong relationship, and there's struggles between a husband and wife and their children. And man, okay, God is there to help us. God is there to show himself mighty, to help us to know what step to take, where to go to school, what job to have. And if we don't take time to intentionally remember the goodness of God and what he is doing and his commandments, his promises, we will quickly forget and become ruined by unthankfulness. And look at Romans 1 and find out where unthankfulness takes you. It is a deadly disease in our lives that a lot of us will just wander right into if we're not careful to look to God, keep our attention on him. So if you want to hinder this great almighty God, just refuse some or all of his commandments. Forget the great things that he has done. Don't take time to rehearse the great things of God. The devil doesn't want us getting encouraged in God. I love the Psalms, how David says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Ever think about what that is? This man was running for his life. He was promised to be the next king of Israel, and here the current king is out to kill this man. And it's, I'm sure David thought, Lord, you see it in the Psalms, why hast thou forsaken me? And my enemies are coming after me daily. And he cried to God, help me, and had to hide in the caves, running for his life. He knew what it was to be discouraged, but the Bible says he would encourage himself in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord was the same. He changes not. His greatness, his power, he never leaves us or forsakes us. Let's not forget, too, we are living in a sin-cursed world, okay? We're going to experience sickness. God has brought this to my mind many times with our little Kayla's situation. hey, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, the Bible says. We deserve disease. We deserve sickness and torment. Why does God allow anything good to happen? Why does he ever allow anything good to happen? That's what we ought to be asking. I deserve to be in hell right now. And when you look at it from that perspective, God's perspective, you realize, wow, God is good. And this life is short. There's going to be trials. We live in a sin-cursed world. Just don't be so surprised when terrible things happen. Okay? We make sinful choices. We've all contributed to the sinful impact of this wicked world. Okay? And God is good. This life's a vapor. It's a short little while to impact souls for eternity, lay up treasures in heaven for eternity, and God knows that. He wants to show himself great and mighty through weak, feeble creatures like you and me who've been saved by the blood of Christ. Notice last of all here, if you want to hinder the Almighty God, refuse some or all of his commandments, forget the great things he has done, and in verses 18 through 20, we see that You should question God's ability and power. We look at the Israelites and we think, man, how foolish. They could have just gone right in and taken over the promised land and it could have been theirs and they would have avoided wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And everybody but Joshua and Caleb and the younger people died off in that wilderness. They could have avoided all that. Man, they're so crazy. We do the same things. We forget. We refuse his commandments. We forget to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on God and his incredible greatness. Look at verse 18. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. Man, this same God that showed himself so great and mighty? Yes, we do the same thing. They spake against God. They said, look at this question. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Think about how ridiculous that question is. Okay, we're talking about the God who created billions of stars, billions of miles apart from each other, with one word. We're talking about the God who created that bright, shining object that's beaming in the windows here today. We're talking about the God who created billions of human beings on the face of this earth, microscopic organisms, amazing things. And they're asking this question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In other words, can God make some food for us to eat out here in the wilderness? What a foolish question. Foolish. Look at verse 20. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Man, we doubt God so quickly, don't we? We doubt God. This is describing you and me right here. If you want to hinder Almighty God, question him. Forget about the greatness of Almighty God. Don't encourage yourself in the Lord. Refuse his commandments. Oh, I know Acts 1:8 says God gives me the Holy Spirit to be able to be a witness for Jesus Christ here in my community, at my workplace, to my neighbors, my family members. But that's for the preacher, you know. That's for the staff at church. Nope. It's for you who are washed by the blood of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit in you to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. So many things we could look at. Matthew 13:58 says that Jesus was not able to do the great and mighty things there in Nazareth. Why? He was ready, had some great miracles ready to do to show he's God and prove, you know, some great things about God. Why didn't he do them? He walked away from his hometown, not able to do the great and mighty things he wanted to do because of their unbelief. Because they were, Jesus, he's Joseph the carpenter's son. How can he be God? We've watched him be raised here in Nazareth. They doubted him. Don't be one of those people. Let's be encouraged today. Maybe we need to repent of some unbelief in our life. And today, turn to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to limit you. And it begins with salvation. If you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and taken that once and for all free gift of salvation by faith, received by faith through in Jesus Christ, today is the day you need to do that. And you can enter into an amazing personal relationship with Almighty God, who loves you, sacrificed everything for you by Christ shedding his righteous blood on the cross, and rising from the dead to prove that he is God. No other religion in the world can claim anything close to that but Bible Christianity. Jesus is God. He is alive. He's ready to use us today. Are you hindering the Almighty God of heaven and earth? If there's something area of your life God has brought to your attention today, I hope that in these next few minutes, you will talk to the Lord about that and say, Lord, forgive me. We all have to do that. I have to do this sometimes. Okay, I'm not standing up here telling you this because I'm perfect in this. No, it's because it's the Bible. And God has called me to be the messenger to declare his message today. This is what God wants for every one of us, to be not hindering him in the great things he wants to do in 2022. Let's go to him in prayer.